Memphis track, boy. Memphis track, let's go. Let's go.
They like my Colorado swag, cause when I'm in that play, I don't really know just how to act.
Welcome into a new Buff Stampede Radio. Adam Munster Tiger, the publisher of BuffStampede.com. Now a proud member of the On3 Rivals Network. Joined again, football analyst William Gardner. Clearly you can see I'm in the hospital. This is not ideal. But William, I am bored. I need to talk some CU football. I need some company. And so maybe not the most aesthetically pleasing a view you're going to get of me during a podcast, but at least I can be here to just get out of this hospital rut for a second.
Well, yeah, there's nothing more boring than a hospital bed, and except in the middle of the night when they got to come in every hour and do something to mess with you. So it's kind of crazy, you know.
Like I will tell you, the folks here at UCL in Loveland have been fantastic, but you're right. I mean, it is. They've got so many different things they got to check on, and I think I got 3 hours of sleep consecutively last night, which is the longest since we checked in last Thursday.
Yeah, no, it's like the hospital is almost the worst place to go to get better because you can't get any sleep.
Yeah. Well, before we get into CU topics, we're going to spend 99% or 95% of the show talking CU football. I'll just kind of run down what happened. Starting from the beginning, I would say around the Alamo Bowl last year, I started to get a little off and it was kind of persistent. It went away, but I was doing okay. And this past season, my level of energy was just drained. There was something wrong. And then towards the end of spring ball, I mean, I was so inflamed and thick. I knew I had to get in to get some tests done. And so they ran some tests Thursday. And they found, I'll put up on the screen here now for everybody to see. You can see my left lung is like fluid. And so what they did is they went in, they drained it. And it's kind of gross. It kind of looked like beet juice. There was so much blood in it. And then they drained almost 2 liters out of my left lung and almost 4 out of my abdomen, which was clear, didn't look as gross. So we go through that. All the tests are looking good. By the end of Friday night, they're thinking I'm going home Sunday afternoon. And that morning, though, just out of nowhere, internal bleeding from the lung situation. They nicked the ninth vertebrae. Or is that the correct term?
The artery in there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we had to get somebody with a more medical experience, but, you know, the there's a lot of things in there, and depending on where they're going in that lung, they probably got to go in the bottom end.
Well, within an hour, I went from being just what I am right now to my blood pressure just crashing and all of the machines are going crazy. I've got 10 people rushing me over to ICU. I got 10 more people over there. And I just keep hearing this is touch and go. I'm getting kind of nervous. They were able to stop the bleeding. And now I will warn people, don't look at this if bruises gross you out. This is what it looks like now. And it's the same on the other side back there. Not pretty, but I'm alive. And I'll tell you what, just waking up in the morning, even in the hospital, man, like something about, you know, I didn't see the white light, but it was touch and go. And a lot of people told me that a lot of the medical people here told me they were a little nervous. So I didn't overreact in that situation. It was a scary deal. I'm doing better now. So hopefully, fingers crossed, no more setbacks. I might be able to go back at some point tomorrow.
Well, I was just chatting with Liz earlier today about how fortunate it is that you were in there, you know, when all this happened. Because
Oh,
if
it would
you're
have
in
been bad. Yeah.
if you're in most modern hospitals in the United States these days, they can find things right away and they can get in there. And I, 19 years doing what I used to do, I have no. I worked. I used to work in the Navy with fighter pilots, but they ain't got nothing on trauma surgeons, man. Those dudes are miracle workers. So, God bless them. I got to tell you, we were pretty nervous, when all
Yeah.
this happened. We don't get to go inside, so we don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate all the support. I mean, I swear, from Deion Sanders down to all the posters on our board, like they have been just so fantastic with their support. And I mean, it's one of the things that has kept me in this gig as long as I have been in it, because I know we're a family.
Yeah, you don't really find out how much you're loved until something like this happens, and then you see people stand up, and it's going to be hard for me to kind of keep my emotional composure because it's pretty amazing stuff, really. God bless all of you out there watching this, because I started making calls to try to make sure we could cover for you for if whatever. I don't even want to finish with the if, but we didn't know what the hell was going to happen,
Yeah.
and everybody stepped up, man. Nobody was upset to be called late at night. Everybody's like, okay, well, let's just get done what we got to get done. And Liz got the website to help you guys out, and people just started pushing that out. And it was really kind of it's gratifying to see. We talk football, and at the end of the day, it's not that important sometimes.
Yeah. Sorry. Fighting back some emotions here. Yeah, I love you guys. Any other questions? Do you want to hop into some CU football talk? I think that might be a good idea.
Show something, or you want to show that, or what?
What's that?
Oh, you were going to show something, but I guess you'll put that in post-production.
Yeah, and of course we like to go live. This is the first non-live we've done in a really long time, and the reason for that is that at any moment they're going to want to draw blood or something.
Yeah,
So
you're not.
there's no way we're going live with that.
Yeah, you belong to them when you're in the hospital.
Yeah,
And God bless them. Everybody's doing their job, and the one group in there that gets the least respect and is the nurses, and they're the ones in there that keep everything running and keep you
all right.
going.
Back in the game, prep recruiting continues to heat up for CU. Penny Fairley, a defensive tackle, committed to the Buffaloes last Friday, 6'1", 280 from Creekside High School in Fairburn, Georgia. Colorado's third pledge for 27, joining quarterback Andre Adams and cornerback Devon Derrico. Already been by Boulder unofficially, and Fairley will stop by on an official visit in June. Let's get your initial thoughts on the latest Buff commit.
Well, I think he's a really good-looking prospect. He's listed well. I would he's listed 6 foot and a half inch. He call it 6'1". Call him 275, 280. I've seen some comparison. I saw one article. It's always whoops. Oh, there we go. There's always with a guy that's slightly undersized, there's always the inevitable comparison to Aaron Donald. But he's got some of that in his game. But quite frankly, he's got a lot of block bowling in him too. He uses his hands really well, stands people well. He doesn't just stand people up. His video, there are a lot of dudes going head over heels backwards, which is how well he
Yeah.
strikes. He's got a Cincinnati offer, Purdue offer, a bunch of other G5 offer type things. But he's got room and time to grow. He's got another senior. He plays at Creekside High School in Fairburn, Georgia, and they were 15-0 4A Georgia State champions. They beat DeSoto High School, the big powerhouse DeSoto in Texas, where
Iska and
Michael
Katie
Biscuit's
Nixon.
brother came from. They beat them 70-28 last year. So they are not messing around. They're playing high level football. He's an 86 rated 3-star, and I think he's going to blow up. I think he's got time to grow, and he's going to grow. I think he's got a frame that could easily get up to 300, if not more. But I think he plays a lot like Block Bully in terms of how powerful he is against offensive linemen. But he's also very polished. He's got a lot of different moves. He's got a really nice swim. He's got a nice rip. He did, and hopefully we'll see this on film at some point, but he's got a beautiful counter club where he sets up one this way and pounds him that way. And it's really a lot of fun to watch. He's very high motor, plays with a low pad level, but never lifts offensive line into his body. I think the issue with him is going to be, when he starts to get more notice, because I think he's going to be even better as a senior. Can we keep him on board? So that'll be the thing moving along. But he's very athletic and very powerful at the same time. So he's somewhere in between Block Bolly and Aaron Donald in terms of his skill set to me.
I love a few of the same notes through watching his highlights. The three things that stood out to me the most were you mentioned his wide array of pass rush moves, his violent hands, and just his quickness off the ball were the three things that stood out to me the most. And yeah, you mentioned he had not a ton of Power Four offers, Cincinnati, Purdue, and what USF is going to be Power Four this year, right?
Did he have an offer from them? I didn't see that one, but yeah, he had. I mean, he's got
But
about 20.
he has 29 offers, so a lot of them are that kind of group of five, but pretty highly regarded guy overall. He said, quote, "Colorado has been recruiting me consistently, and their message has really been about development and competing at a high level every day. They've been real about the standard they expect and how they prepare guys for the next level. It would be so big to play for Deion Sanders. He's done it at the highest level, so you know he understands what it takes. I respect the mindset and confidence he brings to the program. Feel the culture they're building in Colorado and the energy around it. It feels competitive, focused, and genuine."
Yeah, and I think I got two thoughts that come out of that. But I think one is that the power, a lot of the Power Four schools are probably little concerned about his size and want to have this more prototype 6'3", 300-pound guy. But I think as they see this guy play more, you're going to see more teams get on board, and especially if he grows a little bit in this next year
I
before the summer.
like shorter defensive tackles. They win the leverage game.
Well, Block Bolly wasn't 6 feet. He was 5'11" and a
Yeah,
half.
that's probably pushing it down towards the end of that. But I don't want like a 6'7" defensive tackle unless they're just a complete freak.
And I think that, but I do think it scares off some schools. I don't know. Everybody can make their own evaluation, but I think this kid can play, and we're going to see more people coming after him. But then, what I like about his comment, we've heard that same thing from a lot of guys this fall, is that there's still a lot of cachet to the Deion Sanders name among recruits out there, and they want to play for him,
And
regardless
he
of
can
what
be
he.
active recruiting them this year, unlike a year ago.
And I think that makes a big difference to have him around. And well, you can attest, he had to go in the hospital for major surgery, and before he got all that fixed up, he was not 100% and didn't have the energy level. And when you're in a situation like that, man, some days you're just struggling to get through the damn day.
Yeah, no question. Yep. Maybe if I had gone to Taco Bell more often, I could have avoided the hospital. What do you think?
Yeah, a little more of the salsa and salty, or the really spicy stuff. That'll be good for you.
I'm looking hot, but this, William, this is next level. Introducing new Diablo dusted chicken nuggets at Taco Bell. Premium all white marinated chicken seasoned with bold Mexican spices. In a crunchy tortilla chip coating and dusted with bold, flavorful Diablo spice seasoning served with spicy ranch. We're not talking about a little kick. We're talking about that you feel it after the first bite and heat. Perfectly crispy, perfectly seasoned, completely unforgettable. If you're tired of playing it safe, ready to turn things up all the way, these nuggets.
There you go. Still got it. Even from a hotel, hospital bed.
Taco Bell did not put me here, so don't come after our sponsor. They could have saved me, but I didn't eat enough of it apparently. All right, let's get back serious here. More prep offers going out this spring than any other stretch in the Deion Coach Prime. Sanders era. We've seen Darius Darden Box, Dante Carter, John Niblett, Aaron Fletcher, Rashad Hall, Johnny Mack, Rashad Rich, all out on the recruiting trail. It feels like there's more momentum with recruiting now than there ever has at the prep level under Coach Prime, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think real quick, I'm kind of surprised you didn't use the tie into hospital food.
Yeah, it's actually been really, really solid here. Yeah.
Yeah, I think UC Health has really good hospital food, you know.
Yeah, they do.
It's an oxymoron, but, you know, it's a whole different thing than it used to be. But, yeah, the recruiting this year, I think it reflects somewhat the changes in the recruiting office, but also the Coach Prime having that more energy and involvement in it, you know. And I think he took a real – I think coming out of last season and what happened with the transfers, you saw it, first of all, the transfer portal where he said, nobody got an offer in its transfer portal until I watched their film personally, you know. And so there's a whole new I don't know how to put it, importance, I guess, or intensity to Coach Prime's approach to the recruiting, I think. And you see that in terms of his input with the players and whatever, but you know, with the somewhat changes in the recruiting office, I think we're seeing sort of a new approach as well.
Yeah, they've got more than 20 official visitors scheduled for May and June. I like CU's chances going into June with Mississippi running back Kylan Bobo, Arizona receiver Jaden Baldwin, and Maryland interior offensive lineman Jaden Lindsey. Those aren't the only three guys that I could see committing during that stretch. Obviously, if you're going to take an official, it means that's one of the top four or five schools for you.
Yeah,
I could really see recruiting is heating up because you're getting all this interest. They are still at three verbal commits for 27. I think they're definitely in double digits by the end of official visit season and probably trending, you know, more in that 15 to 17 range maybe by the time season kicks off.
Yeah, and I think it helps that you got a top quarterback on board in Andre Adams. You know, that's a big draw to all your offensive guys and to some extent to your defensive guys because they know that you got to begins and ends with the quarterback position. But he's also been pretty active recruiting guys and getting on the phone and social media and pushing guys to come to Boulder too. So that's a big addition to begin with, you know. nice to have what looks like possibly your future nose tackle on board already. So a lot of positive things going right now. And I think we're going to get into some exciting time here with some of this for everybody.
Yeah. And Hutton Reed joins the recruiting staff. Young, going to bring youthful enthusiasm. He earned 2 degrees at Auburn and then finished his college career at LaGrange College in Georgia because he wanted to play football as a graduate in 2023. And super young. He did represent CU linebacker Reggie Hughes as his agent last year. So he built up a repertoire with his staff and they've been around him enough to think that he's a good fit. And so he's going to be, you know, starting at the bottom of the barrel in that recruiting department. But I think it's good to add another young person in that group.
Yeah. And I think with a guy that's got some sort of the player connections that he's got to help, reach those guys and get them on board and get them coming in here. So I just think there's a good chemistry and mix to that room. And, you know, they're identifying guys and getting after them a lot sooner this year. So I think it'll have a good outcome for us.
Is your business growing but not quite ready for a full-time CFO? Macaulay Capital offers fractional CFO services for companies doing more than $3 million in annual revenue. You get expert financial leadership without the full cost. Learn more about how you can improve your business's profitability and cash management at MacaulayCapital.com. If you know Boulder, you know the Hungry Toad. We've been serving this town since 1991, long before the lines on Pearl Street. Just north of campus, we're your local British pub with proper fish and chips, quality burgers, a scratch kitchen, real English cask ale, and no tourist fluff. We support CU football, women's soccer, and the loyal fans who keep it local. The Hungry Toad, Boulder born, Buffs proud.
Do you watch any of the NFL draft this year?
little bit, not too much.
Unfortunately, no Buffs drafted this year. But we'll recap their undrafted free agents and the rookie mini camp invites. Why don't we just run down the list real quick, William, and then you react to however you want. Let's start with the undrafted free agents that got signed pretty quickly after the draft ended over this past weekend. Defensive tackle Anquan Barnes was signed by the New York Giants. Receiver Sincere Brown was signed by the Chargers. Seems like
I
a
think,
good fit.
yeah, I think both of those guys are intriguing to see. They both have measurables off the charts, and the NFL loves that. So it'll be interesting to see if that translates to the NFL game. Sincere Brown didn't really live up to the ability of his spectacular body yet, but you never know, And then Anquan Barnes kind of, had hiccups here and there, but he's got the size and the power and explosiveness to actually do something. So it'll be interesting to watch those two for sure.
My favorite pro prospect of last year's Buff squad is offensive lineman Xavier Hill. He signed as an undrafted free agent with the New York Jets. Preston Hodge, nickelback, signs on with Jacksonville, and edge Arden Walker with the Vikings. Rooting for Arden. I'm originally from Minnesota, and Arden's one of my favorite Buffs here in recent years that I've covered. So hopefully he can maybe make the practice squad or something up there.
Yeah, and I think Xavier Hill's got all the measurables to play in the NFL too. I don't know if he's going to end up being a starter or not. I think he's got a shot at that kind of ability. But I do think he's quite easily the guy you look at and think he's a, makes 10 years in the NFL doing something. Because there's a lot of lineman spots, and they're not all starter spots. And teams are looking for guys that can play all five positions, so they can take one guy and back up multiple spots. And I think Xavier Hill is one of those guys.
Edge Keaton Wade got a mini camp invite with the Chiefs. Center Zarian McGill got a rookie mini camp invite with the Broncos.
I think McGill's gonna probably do something. I see him finding a
He could
niche
be
in
a
the,
practice squad guy for sure.
and then finding a niche in the NFL as well, because he's really solid technique wise and actually a really good center, I think. I think he's
Yeah.
under.
He just like it's pro timing day. He just like him and Xavier Hill side by side, like you're just gonna become enamored with Xavier Hill just from the eyeball test.
Yeah, but you don't have to, you're not necessarily looking for massive guys at a center position, necessarily. You're looking for different kinds of things. I think he sort of brings those things to the table. And I think he'll last on some team this year in some capacity.
Defensive tackle Amari McNeil got two rookie mini camp invites from the Panthers and Chiefs. And quarterback Caden Salter got a mini camp invite with the Titans. I don't think I'm going to do a Caden Salter discussion here. It's time to move, turn
Oh
the
yeah.
page to 26.
Which is a much better page, it looks like already. At the quarterback
Tristan,
position.
how about Tristan Moreau's edge guy that got drafted 27th overall in the CFL draft by the Calgary Stampeders? He didn't play a ton at CU, but he was a more special teams guy. And he actually started a game on the edge, I think it was 2 years ago. Good for him.
Yeah. Well, everybody. You know what? You never know what'll come up of guys if you they get a shot somewhere. And I'll be interested to watch Amari McNeil and see if he can find a niche for himself or take that next step forward that I was hoping for this year. I didn't see yet.
Who are you most optimistic is going to stick around in the NFL for a while of all those guys we just went through?
Oh, thinking about all those names, I think Xavier Hill, I think, is probably the most obvious. I think depending on how they do initially, Anquan Barnes might be one of those guys. It wasn't particularly a great year for us. I think that Arden Walker, he doesn't quite have the explosiveness for his size. If he was a little bigger, he'd be good, but just doesn't quite put together the measurables so much for
Yeah.
me to play in the NFL. But we haven't got there yet. But I think what this draft shows us as CU fans is what the new era of transfer portal means, both positive and negative. This particular draft year kind of burns and kind of sucks and kind of sits in the stomach in the wrong way, because the transfer portal did not help us in this way. But I think moving forward with some of the guys we got this year, I hope that we see that change and turn around, because we got a lot of guys that left CU that got drafted this time around.
Yeah, and that's receiver Jordan Tyson, who was the number 8 selection overall in the first round. Bolden Hood drafted number 37 overall. Sedu Traore drafted at 180, and Alex Harkey at 206.
Yeah, and I mean,
I think Colton Hood is the one that probably, and maybe Traore as well, because that was a weird deal with him and Brewster and just not meshing. Jordan, it works out for him.
yeah,
And
you know, yeah, hindsight's 2020. I think Jordan Tyson was badly injured, and there was a lot of, you can't argue with the receivers that were coming in for Coach Prime at that time, and they're all in the NFL now too. So people can rehash the Jordan Tyson thing all they want, but there was question. I remember it. Tell me if I'm wrong. My memory was it wasn't entirely 100% clear he was going to come back from that injury at the time. So,
it was
things
pretty
happen.
catastrophic. He was recovering pretty well. I actually ran into Jordan after Coach Prime got to Boulder in the elevator and was chatting with him. He still had a long ways to go, and he only did play in a few games that first year at Arizona State, but they were pretty confident at that point that he was going to be fine over. It was just going to take a long time for him to get back there.
And, I think Coach Prime needed immediate help, at all positions right there coming off. That first year we had the worst, that squad we had for coming back after Durrell was probably the worst in the country, so he needed immediate help. But, we can debate that all we want. I think Sadu Traore, I mean, he was only here for 5 minutes. He was here for spring ball and he left, So, if the fault is Brewster, so be it. Thank God he's gone.
Well,
At this
he didn't want to be,
Yeah.
a hand in the dirt guy, and he got drafted 180 overall, so maybe he knew where he needed to be at
Yeah.
tight
And
end.
tight end wouldn't have made that the difference for us. We wouldn't have thrown to him here anyway. So in reality. And so
This year
hopefully
he
that
would be a weapon though, wouldn't
yeah,
he?
oh yeah. This new offense is gonna be great for the tight ends, And then Alex Harkey, he wasn't here long enough for me even hardly to remember him too much.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
Well, it
And
sounds
Gold.
like finally enough momentum that they're going to go 5 for 5 for college athletics with eligibility. And that would be, again, the regular academic year after the player turns 19 or they graduate from high school, whichever happens earlier. This is a no-brainer, should have been done decades ago. The redshirt thing just. And there was a proposition, William, where they were going to allow like 9 games still redshirt. It's like, what are we doing here?
So
Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
let me clarify this then, for example. So like a Juju Lewis could get 6 years because he won't beat 19 till after his.
I don't think they're going to grandfather guys in like that. It's
No, but
basically
what I'm saying
what they're
is like,
saying is we were sick of being in the courts. Here's
right.
eligibility. This is what it is.
But what I'm saying if a guy comes in a year early Juju did, and he plays it because it says it doesn't start until academic year after they turn 19, right? So he gets that first year in. Does that count? Because I don't think, when did he even turned 18 yet? Has he finally turned 18?
He graduated from high school. He had to, so it was from that point. So you wouldn't have had to worry about
Or, okay, or.
him not starting the last game last year. It's basically a one game deal and a 3-9 season. Doesn't really matter. If this 5 for 5 goes through, Juju's got this year and 3 more years after that. So.
I see, or graduate from high school. Okay, that's the part that I was missing.
But don't you I mean it's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, well, it seems like, a lot of things are no-brainers. Like, given a certain defensive tackle's eligibility is a no-brainer, but will the NCAA do it? So, letting our
We saw
office.
what our guy Tyler Brown had to go
Right,
through a
that's what I
couple
was
of
trying
years
to.
ago. Yeah.
Tyler, letting Tyler Brown play was a no-brainer too, but yeah. So, but this would be good for colleges and for the players too, I think. So, we'll see what happens with that. And hopefully at some point get some clarity on Ezra Christensen too. So
Yeah, I checked on that last week. Still up in the air.
yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Doesn't seem like it'd be that hard of a deal.
The
So
spring ball ended. I got my first position preview up with the receivers, just kind of an overview. And I was hoping to get the cornerbacks position preview up, but kind of hard to do that in the hospital. So I've been doing more recruiting updates from here. But I'm going to start getting back into those, hopefully. Knock on wood that I can get out of here tomorrow at some point, and I can get those cranking those out this weekend. Oliver Hayes men's basketball content's been great.
I'll get
As
that.
Ted Boyle.
I'll get the O line right up to you and start working on a defensive line for spring follow up as well.
Sounds good.
You just format them and put photos in there.
Ted Boyle's slowly filling that roster back out. I was trying to get out there that Oliver Hayes men's basketball content has been fantastic. Leo Rivera has been doing a good job. Will Burnett with our roundtable feature, our national staff. The support is unbelievable. Definitely makes me happy that I made the move to On3 and Rivals, that to have all this support that I've had. And again, I can't thank all the people that have reached out in the last week or so, or last few days. It's really meant a lot.
I was on the phone shout out to our fearless moderator SD, who was right there with me and Liz, kind of making sure things are going to go on, making contingency plans. And Leo was great, and I got to meet Oliver, well, through the phone, Oliver for the first time, and Will Burnett, and everybody was just happy to just whatever they need to do.
That's
You got a
awesome.
good crew there, man.
Yeah, no, we again, it's a family on BuffStampede.com. And now we just deserve some winning football. That's all we deserve.
Yeah, far. We deserve some championship football for what we put up with the last 20 years. It's kind of crazy. Yeah,
Yes.
like every, we don't hear this much very often, but there used to be up to a couple of years ago, people talk about, well, you're a fair weather fan. Ain't no such thing as CU anymore, man. If you're still on board,
Oh.
you're the real deal,
Yep,
So.
no doubt. Yeah, I'm higher on this football team than most people because of the creativity we expect on offense, because of better depth in most spots, because you've got a better chemistry, you're gonna have a better locker room. You're not gonna be relying on the quarterback to carry the whole team. You're gonna have this offensive system.
And we were, we were talking about a little bit on one of the threads on the board today, and I think the same thing. I think, last year kind of came apart. I was saying to somebody, they said, well, because of the quarterback position. I said, or you could look at it as the offense coordinator position, because if you had a decent offense coordinator, you could have probably worked around that. But with a bad OC and a bad QB, and then no, nobody worked out on the at the linebacker position at all.
Yeah.
I think we're closer to 6 wins than some people
Coach with
think.
cancer, it really was a perfect storm.
Oh my goodness, and then some of the things that happened early in the season that people don't know about necessarily, but just the failures at that, even with a competent halfway competent quarterback, I think we would have got those other 3 wins, or decent linebacker or whatever. And so we have addressed, I think, or Coach Prime has addressed to me all the things that were significant issues last year. And now we wait to see how much effect it has. I mean, we with 2 good quarterbacks fighting for playing time behind, on a program that's run by a very competent offensive coordinator. And you look at the weapons we have at wide receiver, and what I saw in the spring from running back. We're going to have the most depth and talent we've had at the offensive line in a long time, which doesn't guarantee a good offensive line, and don't take me saying that. But there's plenty to work with there, and I like that we've got our offensive line coaches back for the first time in forever. And I was saying to somebody this morning, for whatever complaints the people had at Virginia Tech about Chris Marv, we'd be thrilled to have the defense they had there under him.
Yeah. All right, William. Well, this was a good show, a little bit shorter. We're going to try to go back live again next week. Anything else on your mind before we close out?
Nope, just want you to take care of yourself, my friend. You know, and
Doing my best, man. Yeah,
whatever
I
they tell
am.
you, you got to do it times 10 because this is serious business. We don't want you
Yes.
back to.
I don't want to spend another week here. I'll tell you, as great as these people are, and the food's not bad, and I've gotten a chance to binge watch a couple shows, which is always nice.
Yeah, and.
I've put in my time. I want to be home.
Well, and you know, I just thinking to myself, it's like, you know, you've kind of made a career over covering CU football, but you know, in a certain manner of speaking, CU has now saved your life.
Yeah.
Being up there at
At
UC
least
Health,
been a great support for sure. Yeah.
one of their facilities, you know. So,
Yeah.
next time you see Coach Prime on one of the ads for UC Health, it might look a little different.
He's been popping up here, yeah, with his Depend commercials.
Oh,
So
yeah.
yeah. No, I mean, seriously, like I should have gotten checked out sooner. And even at his press conference last July was, or early August, was talking about got to get yourself checked out. And so kind of dropped the ball there, but I'm going to do everything I can going forward to make sure that I'm putting all the proper things in my body, and we'll get back to 100%, and gonna be gravy.
Well, it's hard to know, you know, like my whole life, my parents were both doctors, and I don't know, you know, I don't like to go to the doctor. I don't like to go to the hospitals, and so I always think, well, it's gonna get better. And you know, my ex once said, when I said I want to go to the doctor, she said, you must be feeling really bad, you know. And
Yeah.
sometimes you got to
Well,
not let it
I think it's because when you're younger, you do get over it.
Well,
Usually.
you are younger. I don't know what you're talking about from my perspective there, punk.
Well,
But
they keep calling me young in here. I'm like 46. I don't know. It's kind of on the, oh, I wouldn't say young, say middle aged, no?
well, I call it the earliest part of middle age. You know, when you get to be 61, everything looks a little different to me. I was like, you know, I was saying to Liz, your wife, at one point, I was like, you know, when you're 61, that's going to happen at some point. You know, I mean, that's just nature. It's not me being pessimistic. That's the nature of humanity. It's like if things start to break down, whatever. And what I was saying to Liz is, man, I hope that I got people to show up for me like they did for you, bro.
Yeah. Well, I got your back.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, you
Yeah.
know, you can't donate hair for me or anything, but you know.
I haven't been able to shave in a week. Getting a little fuzz, but I don't know how much it's showing up on there.
Can't see it, but looks nice and shiny.
Like the Tad Boyle haircut, the gray hairs.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, it's been great seeing you and catching up with you.
Yeah, I really needed this. And let me just say, On Three Rivals is like, take as much time as you need to recover. They're not, they probably don't even want me doing this, but I felt up to it. I really just needed this break. And there were some people that were quite had questions about what happened. And so I just wanted to kind of break that down a little bit. And yeah,
Well,
no, it's been therapy for me here the last
yeah,
40, 45 minutes.
and I you know, I knew what to expect, but I gotta tell you, it was a shock when you came on the screen. You know, I knew what I was gonna see, and yet still to see it was kind of a shock. But you know,
I just looked so hideous to you. Is that
no,
what
with
you're
all
saying?
in the bed with the oxygen tube on, and
Yeah.
at least we didn't have to see you turn around with that hospital gown on. But
Well, I did warn people when I put the picture up earlier that, hey, if this is not your thing, don't look at this.
yeah,
It
but
ain't pretty.
you know, again, I was we were chatting with Liz and SD Dane, and talking about you were right back at it, and I was like, you know, after a scare like that, you know, maybe you just want to get back into your everyday stuff and routine and deal with something that's not quite so frightening and scary and all that sort of stuff. So sometimes you just need to do that and get on here and see everybody, and not that you can see anybody, but get back into a
No,
set.
I can't go very long without tapping in with CU. Like, even when we took a vacation overseas a handful of years back for my wife's 40th birthday, it's like, just I can't unplug very easily. But that's a good thing because I love my job so much. I don't enjoy 3 and 9 football seasons, of course, but I really enjoy the community. I enjoy the coverage aspect of being able to be diversified to do podcasts, written stuff, recruiting. I mean, there's so many fun parts of this gig that I was itching to get on the Zoom call today.
Well, my last piece of advice to you is this, my friend. When the wife says, "Let's go to the hospital," you say, "Yes, ma'am, get in the car."
Okay. Fair enough. It did take a little prompting from the wife. Yes. I love her and I appreciate her.
The
She's been
prompting
so
might
supportive.
prompting next time might include a frying pan. So,
She might have to call you up. You might have
because.
to be her enforcer.
As scary as it was for you, it was just as, it's just as scary for her.
Yeah, she's been fantastic. And yeah, we're getting through this. God bless Buff Nation. And can't wait to be back live next week without a breathing tube up my nose.
And we're gonna have to try to get a next spring, see if we can go through spring without anybody in the situation going in the hospital.
Hey, nice. Yeah,
You or
Brian
your
Howell
anything?
had he was in a walking boot with his foot recently. Mark Johnson had to go into the hospital to get some stuff trained. Pat Graham from the AP, he had a torn ACL suffered during a pickleball tournament. I don't know if you saw the segment where Coach Prime was talking to him about that. So yeah, we've been through the ringer a little bit. It's I mean, and then of course the tragedy of all of them with Dom P Ponder passing. So yeah, we need some positive health stuff going forward.
Well, we'll make that the final note on this, and then we'll get back out on the live screen next weekend and or next week and see who shows up for us.
Sounds good. Appreciate you, William, as always, and I appreciate everybody out there for tuning in.